Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and charter of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Meghanati Miranda Syangarangana Salakya, Chaksurun Miritam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Maha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'd like to talk today about being in the palm of His, capital H, hand. When we look at all that's going on in the world today, would you agree with me? It's easy to live worried and afraid. We watch the news, we see the conflict between nations, natural disasters. And if that's not enough, now we're dealing with this coronavirus. We think, what if I get sick? What if my business doesn't make it? Or maybe I've already got a closed sign on the shop window. What if my child has an accident? What if my child doesn't get back to school or get educated? We're not minimizing. All these concerns have their own degree of validity. If you were on your own, we would all have a good reason to live worried. But the good news is that we're not in this by ourselves. We have a potential protector. We have a defender. We have a deliverer. It is said that the Most High God is the guardian of your soul. When He breathed life into you, He didn't just toss you out into the earth and say, good luck, now you're on your own. No, He said, I'm going to guard you. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to push back forces of darkness. I'm going to hide you from your enemies, and I'm going to shield you from trouble. Tesha Maham Samudarta is the Sanskrit affirmation in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, for those who keep me first place and chant my holy names, I am the swift deliverer from birth and death. Krishna will rescue you from every trap. He'll protect you from the plague. You don't have to be afraid of the virus. You have to take normal precautions. Not going to do for you what you can do for yourself, but that doesn't mean you have to go around living in fear, knowing that Krishna has a shield around you, knowing that God, of all people, knows how to keep harm at a distance. And if it does come, He knows how to get you through it. He knows how to heal you. He knows how to restore what was taken, how to rescue you from every trap. The enemy, whom we call Maya, and who is a she rather than a he, does not have the final say. Nothing, in fact, can snatch you out of the palm of Krishna's hands. You've turned to your Creator. He's reciprocated with you by offering protection from things that you have no clue about. He kept that car from hitting you and you didn't even know it. He pushed back that sickness that you were totally unaware of. He thwarted the plans of the enemy that you didn't even know they had. He moved people out of the way who would have been a bad influence on you. He's always had you, has you now, and will have you in the palm of His hand. If you knew the things that He's already saved you from, the dangers that He's already kept you from, you wouldn't worry about what's going down now. You would be in peace knowing that Krishna, God, has you covered. Those who keep Him first place, He keeps in the palm of His hand. We're not at the mercy of fate. We're not at the mercy of bad luck, any dreaded disease. Why? Because we have a guardian, a protector, a God who promised that He will rescue us from every trap. Just keep your connection with Him by chanting His holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I heard about a wealthy English family some time ago. They invited friends to spend some time at their beautiful country estate. The happy gathering was almost plunged into a terrible tragedy. When the children went swimming, one of them got into deep water and was drowning. Fortunately, the gardener heard the other kids screaming and he dove into the pond to save the helpless boy. That youngster was Winston Churchill. Now, here's what's really interesting. His parents, obviously they were deeply grateful to the gardener. They asked what they could do to reward this gardener. And he said, I wish my son could go to college someday and become a doctor. The family said, we'll pay his way. Years later, when Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister of England, he was stricken with pneumonia. Greatly concerned, the king summoned the best physician who could be found to the bedside of the ailing leader. That doctor was none other than Sir Alexander Fleming, who was number one, the son of the gardener, and number two, does anybody know what else he was famous for? He discovered penicillin. And up until Dr. Alexander Fleming, pneumonia was a death sentence. Saved his life, not just once, but for a second time. Churchill declared, rarely has a man owed his life twice to the same person. Bhagavad Gita says, those who serve the Lord, heart and soul, are in the palm of his hand. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now, he guards you in the future. You can't go anywhere leaving behind, shaking, losing your guardian, God or Krishna. And that's why we can live from a place of peace, a place of faith. Even though there's turmoil all around us, it doesn't have to get inside us. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be panicked. Krishna says, sarvata paripanam tat, sarvata sutimaloke, sarvam avita tishtati. Everywhere my hands and legs, everywhere my eyes and ears, everywhere my feet. Nothing that happens to us is a surprise to God. And he never said that we wouldn't have trouble. He never said we wouldn't have to face challenges. But he does say consistently that he can save us from the trouble. He did promise us that he will keep the fatal plague from taking you out. You don't have to live worried about your future, afraid of what could happen. Krishna has a hedge of protection around his devotees, a bloodline that the enemy cannot cross. In the great epic Mahabharata, as it describes the Kurukshetra War 5,000 years ago, Arjuna, the devotee of Krishna, the protector of righteousness, was stalked by his arch enemy, Karna. And Karna, on a given day, was capable of defeating and killing Arjuna. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was playing the role of the chariot driver of his devotee, Arjuna, and who knows everything past, present, and future, kept Arjuna away from Karna. It was a big battlefield. There were 4.5 million soldiers engaged. And while Karna had one javelin that was fated to kill whoever he would release it to, as long as Karna had this javelin and he was looking for Arjuna, Krishna knew always where Karna was, and he always drove Arjuna's chariot to some other part of the battlefield. One day went by, Karna couldn't find Arjuna. I can't understand it. Another day, another day. Finally, Krishna created a situation where one Rakshasa named Ghatotkacha became so powerful that Karna was obliged to release that fatal javelin on Ghatotkacha instead of Arjuna. And then the next day, guess what? Karna found Arjuna. This battle takes place as described. The Pandavas, who are the good guys, and the Kauravas, who are the bad guys, watched with astonishment from a distance as this duel was going on between the two champions of good and evil, and everybody else just kind of sat back and took a seat to watch the show. They watched as every kind of celestial missile was released and countered. Sometimes it seemed that Karna had the advantage. At other times, Arjuna appeared to gain the upper hand. The warriors of both sides cheered and blew their conch shells, and from the sky, the celestials applauded both the warriors and beat their drums. While that awful fight was raging, the earth seemed to be oppressed by the weight of the weapons being fired. A naga, a mystic snake named Ashvasena, came to the battlefield. He was the son of Takshaka, and he bore Arjuna enmity for having slain his mother and brother in the Kandava forest. Seeing this opportunity to gain revenge, he assumed the form of an arrow and entered into Karna's quiver. With his mind fixed on Arjuna's destruction, Ashvasena used his mystic power to inspire Karna with the thought of using this special arrow which was now empowered and called a Nag Astra. And Karna, for his part, saw that he could not get the advantage over Arjuna. It would take an inspired shot with an incredible celestial weapon. And then he thought of the Nag Astra. If he could catch Arjuna off guard by cutting his bowstring and striking at the same time with a cluster of arrows, he might just have time to kill him with the snake weapon before he recovered. Karna fired shafts with blinding speed and temporarily stunned Arjuna, cut his bowstring off, and then he took this golden arrow from his quiver. It seemed to jump in his hand and almost place itself on his bowstring. Karna took careful aim at Arjuna's neck, and he drew the bow to a full circle. He shot it before Arjuna had a chance to restring his bow, calling out, "You are killed, Arjuna." As the arrow was released, the demigods cried out in sorrow. The shaft went toward Arjuna with a terrible sound, seeming to divide the sky as a woman parts her hair in the middle. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saw the weapon approach and, leaning forward, pressed down on the chariot with his foot. The horses were thrown to the ground and the chariot sank a cubit, which is about 21 inches by our calculations. The snake arrow missed Arjuna's head and took his helmet off, which went spinning off his head like the sun falling from the heavens. It fell to the earth, smoking and shattered by the force of the arrow, which was enhanced by Ashwasena's personal power. Its brilliant celestial gems lay scattered about the ground, resembling stars shining in the night sky. Seeing that Krishna had saved Arjuna from certain death, the gods cheered and showered him with flowers. Arjuna thanked and praised Krishna, who told him what had happened. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what do we learn from this? Just because, like Arjuna, we honor God, we honor Krishna, we see ourselves as belonging to him, we recognize that he put an anointing, a distinction on us because we serve him in love and affection, the result is that what will defeat others will not defeat you, the devotee. When business is going down during the pandemic, you're going to go up. When others are struggling, you're going to be soaring. One devotee said, 1,000 may fall down at my left hand and 1,000 may fall at my right hand, but harm will not come near me or my family. He understood this principle that what happens to others is not necessarily going to happen to a devotee. Krishna put a distinction. He has the shield of his holy names surrounding those who put him first place. We don't mean to state this arrogantly. Not that we're glad that anybody suffers, but living from a place of faith, knowing that we have an advantage, that Krishna has a shield around us. Krishna protects his devotees from deadly hazards. Even though people will succumb all around you, devotees will stand untouched. They'll watch it as if from a distance. Because God is your refuge, the enemy can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. You may have some things coming to the door, but Krishna's not going to let it in the door. You're going to watch it all from a distance. I don't know if you remember the rapper MC Hammer. He had a popular song called "You Can't Touch This." Anybody remember that? Yeah, all right. So you need to see yourself that way. When sickness comes, instead of accepting it, instead of saying, "Oh, I knew it would happen to me," you need to announce to the enemy, "You can't touch this. I'm Krishna's property. My body is a temple of the Most High. I will live and not die." When lack and struggle comes, saying that I'll never get ahead, I don't have what it takes, I'm just sidelined, turn it around. "You can't touch this. Favor of God is on my life. I will prosper even in the desert." Instead of being depressed, thinking, "What did I do wrong? God, what did I do to deserve this?" You need to remind the enemy, "You can't touch this." You need to start seeing yourself as specially protected, untouchable to the enemy. And that's not to say that we won't have difficulties, that we won't have to face sickness, that we won't have to face opposition or betrayals. They're going to come, but they don't have to stay. You don't have to answer the door. You don't have to open up and say, "Oh, I knew you'd come. Come on in. Can I get you something to drink? Have a seat on that sofa. Make yourself comfortable." No. When it knocks, just say, "No thanks. You're not welcome here." Don't accept it. Don't learn to live with it. Quit calling it my depression, my sickness, my anxiety, my dysfunction, my addiction. It's not yours. None of it belongs to you. It's on foreign territory. Your body is a temple of the Most High God. Sickness doesn't belong in your temple. Addiction doesn't belong. Depression doesn't belong. Lack doesn't belong in the temple of God. Just stand firm and keep that door closed. Things are going to come. We're not asking you to deny the facts. We're not asking you to deny the illness. But you don't have to accept it as your lot in your mind. You don't have to let it become permanent in your thinking. You can see it as temporary. It didn't come to stay. Think of it as coming to pass. I know devotees that have contracted the coronavirus. They fought the good fight of faith. Some of them didn't make it. They transitioned to another better body, a glorious body, and some of them came through it. The point is that when you face a sickness, a bad break, a loss, that doesn't mean that you don't have enough faith. That's not the interpretation that you should take from it. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. It falls in the land where it's needed, but it also falls in the water. Difficulties come to everybody. You may be praying, you may be believing, it may not have worked out your way. But when it rains, don't get discouraged. Don't give up on your plans, because God knows what he's doing. If you just keep the right attitude, the rain's not going to stop you from achieving your purpose. It's going to cause you instead to blossom. The enemy may have meant it for your harm, and the reason that Krishna allowed it is so that then he can turn the situation around and bring you out better than you were before. "Well, Chiru, I'll probably get this virus. I don't even have to wear a mask because I know it's preordained. I always have bad breaks. I don't think my business is going to make it. I just got laid off my job." Hey, you need to zip that up. You're opening the door to difficulties. If you're going to activate the protection of Krishna, the last thing you want to do is go around talking defeat. You have to start saying of the Lord, "Lord, thank you that you're my protector. Thank you that you're shielding me from every plague. Thank you that you're rescuing me from every trap. Thank you that I'm going to come out of this untouched. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." The way that you're going to see the magic that I'm talking about is by declaring out loud, if possible, that you're protected, thanking Krishna that there's a hedge around you. He knows how to hide you from the enemy. He knows how to hide you from the virus, how to hide you from trouble. He can place you out of reach of the opposition. And when you're doing the right thing, nevertheless, people are coming against you, trying to push you out. Don't worry. It's not your battle to fight. You're in the palm of his hand. You have a protector, a defender. Stay on the high road. Krishna will keep you out of reach. Krishna will hide you when you need to be hidden. He's not going to let that adversity steal your purpose. Don't live upset, afraid, always planning on how to pay people back. Let Krishna fight your battles. Let him be your defender. He knows how to take care of the opposition better than you do. Krishna has ways to protect you, bring down your enemies that you've never even thought about. He knows how to distract the opposition. He controls the universe. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to work it all out how it's going to happen in advance. All we have to do is just believe. Lord, thanks that you're my protector. Thanks that you're my defender. Thanks that you're my way maker. When you realize that Krishna's guarding you, you can say, I don't fear any evil. I don't fear this virus. I don't fear the opposition. I'm not going to fear for my future. I'm going to stay in peace, knowing that the Lord who created millions and millions of universes is the guardian of my soul. A worldwide epidemic such as we're facing today, it's not a surprise to Krishna. He didn't bring us this far just to leave us. In these troubled times, we can make the choice now to live from a place of faith and not from a place of fear. When you're in peace, even in troubled times, that's a position of power. You're going to be strong. You're going to feel a force sustaining you. But when you're upset and afraid, it's just going to do the opposite. It's going to drain your energy, drain your motivation. Even your immune system is not going to be as effective as it should be. I think you'll all agree with me. There's a lot of negativity in the world. People are afraid, panicked. I know the threat is real, but here's the key. Don't let it get inside you. A ship doesn't sink because of the water around it. It can be a huge ocean surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of miles of tossing and turning, churning water and wind on every side, but that's not the problem. Not what's on the outside that's the problem, but it is if the water gets on the inside, then that becomes a problem. Now, you can't watch the news all day. You can't go on Facebook and stay afloat. If you're constantly taking in the negative, you're going to sink, so to speak. I'm not saying don't watch the news, maybe 5-10 minutes a day. It's important to stay informed. I get some preaching ammunition from it. But after 5 minutes, I know everything that I need to know. If you leave that television on all day, it's going to take 6 weeks to get you out of that pit. Tune it out and tune in to what Krishna says about you in the Bible, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Quran. Don't let what's on the outside get on the inside. Tune in to things that are pure, things that are wholesome, things that are said to be of a good report. Find something to watch that's uplifting, something inspiring, something that's going to build your faith. This is not the time, these dark times, to call negative family members and talk about all the doom and gloom and how bad it is. All that's doing is poisoning your spirit. You're feeding your inner person by what you're taking in. If you're only feeding it the negative, it's going to drag you down. One of the best things that you can feed yourself are the things that Krishna says about you. Lord, thank you that my latter days are going to be better than my former days. Thank you that what you start in my life, you're going to finish. And you may be at a place in your life where you feel like literally there are bombs exploding all around you. Bombs that are going to stop your business. Bombs that are going to damage your family. Bombs that are going to harm your health. Don't worry, it's not as bad as what it looks like. The bark is worse than the bite. Those bombs are not going to take you out. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They may be loud. It seems like you're done. That's all she wrote. But what you can't see is the guardian of your soul, rescuing you from every trap. Krishna knows how to make you invisible to the bombs. The same Krishna that made seeing eyes can make blind eyes see. He can hide the devotee from the enemy, and he can reveal the enemy's hiding place to his devotees. He has all kinds of ways to protect you. We talked earlier about how Krishna hid his devotee from the enemy Karna as long as it was expedient. Now here's another story about how Krishna revealed the hiding place of the enemy of the devotees. This is also described in the Mahabharata. After the war was over and the evil-minded Duryodhana's whole army, his champions like Bhishma, Dronacharya, Karna, his best friend, they were all killed. Duryodhan, who had started the whole war in the first place, hid himself, slunk away, and due to his mystic powers, he went under a lake to nurse his wounds, to mourn the loss of his army, and to save his cowardly carcass. So when the Pandavas were looking for Duryodhan, they came across this lake whose waters were curiously still and placid. It wasn't natural. And seeing that unusual sight, they figured the only explanation was that Duryodhan was hiding like a coward in the bottom of the lake. Yudhisthira, the eldest Pandava, verified it with Krishna, who knows everything, past, present, and future. And he called out to Duryodhan in the lake. He said, "Why, oh best of men," a little sarcasm here maybe, "have you charmed this lake and hidden beneath its waters? How is it that you now desire to save your own life, having brought about the destruction of your family and friends, and indeed millions of warriors? Arise and fight. Where is your honor? O wicked fool, come out and face the consequences of all your evil acts. Heroes never fly from battle. Rather, they prefer death to dishonor. Come out and conclude the war, either by killing us or by dying a hero's death." And Duryodhan, for his part, he's lamenting the loss of Karna, Sakuni, all of his brothers. He answers with great anguish, "O Yudhisthira, I no longer desire to rule the world. Deprived as I am of kinsmen and friends, all those for whose sake I desired sovereignty now lie dead. I give you this empty earth. Although I wish to defeat and humble your pride, even my desire for battle is gone. When I think of Drona and Karna and Bhishma, I think I will enter the forest clad in deerskin and bent on the life of asceticism. Go, O king, and rule the earth destitute of monarchs, warriors, and wealth. I will remain in here." Duryodhan obviously was using a little sarcasm that wasn't lost on Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira said, "Do not rave in this way, Duryodhan. I feel no pity for you. It was your greed that caused everyone to die. I will not accept this earth as a gift, for that is not my duty as a warrior. Nor are you in a position to make such a gift. You have already lost everything. Why, O hero, did you not make this offer when Krishna requested you to? How is it that you, who once denied me even as much land as can fit on the head of a pin, now wish to give me the earth? It's not yours to give, nor was it ever yours. Come out and harvest the fruits of your sinful deeds." Krishna has ways to protect you that you could never even think of. He can make your enemy visible when he's hiding. He can unmask that person who's lying about you. He can turn the tables on that person who's trying to betray you. Krishna always has the final say. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to stay in that secret place, close to Krishna, under the protection of his sheltering wings, in the palm of his hand. I heard about a small fish called a Moses soul. It's a little flounder that's found in the Red Sea. And also in the Red Sea are large sharks who typically like to eat this kind of fish. But in the early 70s, a group of researchers noticed something fascinating about this Moses soul. All the other fish in the same category, same size and weight, would easily be eaten by the sharks. But they discovered the sharks were not eating this particular type of Moses soul fish. And the reason is it has a unique defense system. When it's in any kind of danger, it secretes poisonous toxins out of its glands, and these toxins literally cause the shark's jaw to freeze. Showed a picture of a little fish swimming right inside of the shark's mouth. The shark had obviously come in for the kill. All I had to do was bite down, and there was dinner, The only problem is he couldn't bite down. Krishna had put something on this little fish to protect it. And as long as the fish was close, the jaws of the shark were frozen. Now, like this fish, Krishna's put something on his devotees that will keep the enemy from defeating them. What you're up against may seem bigger, stronger, more powerful. Don't worry. He can't close his jaws, can't touch you, because you have a hedge of protection around you. The way that you release those toxins that cause the shark's jaw to freeze, so to speak, is by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every time you declare, you acknowledge that you are in the palm of Krishna's hands, toxins are released that paralyze the enemy. You don't have to go around verbalizing your fear, telling everyone on the cell phone, spelling doom and gloom on Facebook. True, I'm worried about this virus. I'm afraid my child's off course. My business is not going to spring back. What happens when you talk negatively? It acts like bait. It attracts the enemy, the shark. It's going to make things worse. The way that you activate Krishna's protection is with faith-filled words. Just think about this tiny little, apparently defenseless fish. When he's in the shark's mouth, his blood pressure doesn't spike. He doesn't call 911. He doesn't get depressed and think, oh, this is the end of me. He just goes about his business. He knows there's something special about him. He knows that Krishna anointed him from the beginning of the world. He knows that he will always be protected from those enemies as long as he keeps God first place. A devotee just rests in who Krishna made him to be. Now, if you can get this down in your spirit this afternoon, that the most high God, whom we call Krishna, is the guardian of your soul. He created you. He put something on your soul that makes you untouchable to the enemy. You don't have to go through life worried, panicked, afraid, wondering how it's all going to work out. You can live from a place of peace, a place of faith, knowing that the guardian of your soul is watching over you. If you do this, I believe that Krishna will rescue from every trap, protect you from every pandemic, make you invisible to the enemy, because Krishna is your refuge. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. You are untouchable in this life, and in the next life, you're going to go back to home, back to God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.